How you doing? All right, I know this is a bit unusual, but I'm going to tell you. The citizens are not the only ones that are seeing the failures of our current drug policies. Police officers have been involved in this a lot longer than we'd like to be. We're also seeing the destruction that the policies have caused. Not only is it corrupting our profession, but it's also criminalizing citizens who are neither criminals nor crooks. So that's one of the reasons we've gotten involved in this. One of the more pressing issues that we find to date right now is the abuse that some of our medical patients are suffering when they get caught with a bag of pot or they get caught with a plant growing. I have been across the country in the last 2 years, and I've met patients with cancer, glaucoma, other debilitating diseases, some with amputated limbs, and they have all been arrested and jailed for using marijuana. As a police officer, it is shameful that we are forced to do something like that to citizens who can barely defend themselves. So that's not what we're here for. We're not here to invade, steal, and kill. We're here to protect and serve. And unfortunately, the drug war has taken us off course. So as I've been going around the country, I got involved in this. I didn't think I'd stay and really push the issue. But after seeing the patients and seeing that they were drug off the jail and handcuffed, it shamed me because I'm a police officer by trade, and prior to being in the police department, I was a Marine. So my duty lies to my citizens and not to a bad policy. So as I went around the country and I started meeting these patients, it devastated me. And I just thought to myself, how could we allow this to happen? How could we allow patients who have to use walkers, wheelchairs, other mobility devices, and we allow them to get cuffed and stuffed in the police cars? That's not what we're about. That's not what this country's about. This country's not about arresting and abusing our sick. That's the last thing we need to be doing. We just went over to Iraq and kicked a little butt, and I don't mean that but we did. But the shame of it is we need someone to come back here and kick some butt for the patients. We need someone to stand up in front of the patients like we are now so that there's a line between us and the patients. No more abusing our sick. No more abusing our disabled. We've had enough. So what we push for when we go and we talk to our legislators and we talk to different, we go to Kiwanis clubs, we'll go anywhere where they'll hear us. We explain to them the plight of this patient so that they have a better understanding that people are sick and people use marijuana for medicine, and they have done so for thousands of years, and it's not going to change by prohibition. It's not going to change at all. It just makes the matter worse. So, but one of the things that really all of you can do is ensure you're registered to vote. Make sure you do that much at least. The second thing you can do is get online and get into a couple of good websites, like if you're aware of the Media Awareness Project, that's MAP, Inc. What they push for is letters to the editors. Believe me when I tell you write a good letter to the editor, and at least 1,000 people are going to see it. And if it's a major paper, 100,000 people will see it. So those are very effective ways to get your message across, to get the point home. Also, you can write your elected officials. Nowadays with the Internet, you can do the Internet thing, and it's pretty simple. It's pretty clean. They don't have to worry about anthrax in their mail. So there's a number of things you can do that will not only help us to do our job, and that's to disengage from the war on drugs, but it's also to help the patients who cannot defend themselves. Now, for you personal users and recreational smokers, I'll tell you this. You're going to have to wait till we take care of the patients. Unfortunately, here in America, we have to follow a process here in order for marijuana to be regulated and controlled. The first thing we have to do, though, is take care of our patients. If we try to go the recreational route first, it's not going to happen. It's failed in several states under recreational measures, and it's just not the way that the status quo wants it to go. So we go for the medical, we ensure our patients aren't abused, we ensure they're not cuffed and stuffed and not sitting in a cage for 25 hours. That's what we're going to ensure of first. And then from there, we'll figure out a way to get regulation and control on marijuana, because right now, with the current illegal market, it does nobody any good. So that's some of the things we're pushing for. Another thing that we're pushing for is to try to gain some, I don't know, the best way to describe it would be credibility with the police departments and the communities. right now, I've noticed across the country, wherever I go, when you talk to people about police-community relations, the citizens just want nothing to do with the cops. You know, it used to be if you had a problem, you call a cop and he'd show up and you could count on some kind of help. But nowadays, when you call the cops, you're not sure if you're going to be arrested. You're not sure if you're going to be the victim. So it's created a lot of problems. It's created, it's made our job tougher in that with our increased involvement with the drug war, it's caused us to become increasingly invasive into your lives. So because of this continued invasiveness and this continued hostility, now citizens and police aren't cooperating like they should be. You know, it shouldn't be that when I drive down the road, I get bricks thrown at my car. And it shouldn't be that when you drive down the road, you get stopped and searched just because you happen to look different. That shouldn't happen either. But unfortunately, the drug war is facilitating these kind of attitudes and these hostilities. So we need to change this, and we will change this. Believe me when I tell you, we're a bit pissed about all this. We don't approve none of this. So just to give you that's kind of an overview of where we stand on this. But let me run some numbers by you real quick. Last year, the year before, the last 3 years running, roughly 700,000 people a year were arrested for marijuana violations in the United States. Now, what does that equal to? It's 700,000 people. Each one of them arrests took a minimum of 3 police hours, police man hours, tied up with this arrest. And that's just the police end of it. Now, what that 700,000 times 3 police hours equals to is better than 2.1 million hours our police are pursuing low-level pot arrests, while violent predators like rapists, armed robbers, child pedophiles, they're allowed to run free because we're tied up with some low-level potheads. Sorry, pot smokers. Let me correct that. But the point here is, if we're spending better than 2 million hours a year arresting and incriminating pot smokers, who the hell is watching our homes? Who's watching our children? See, we want to get back to our job. We're here to protect and serve folks. We're not here to terrorize you. And by God, this drug war has led us into that. So with that 2.1 million hours tied up on police hours, think of what that equals to in terms of cash. That's better than $2.1 billion. Because it costs $100 per hour average when you see that cop in the car sitting there driving down the road. That's how much it costs to keep them on the road. So now we've got 2 million hours tied up a year arresting pot smokers, better than $2 billion spent on it. And what have we got to show for it? Not a damn thing, other than a hostility between the citizens and the police. So as we progress forward in society, and we are progressing, believe me when I tell you, no matter how much the Bush administration wants to knock us back to the Stone Ages, we will progress. We will progress. We have no choice. So I guess as far as the arrest, to give you something to think about there, you know, when they say, well, the cops aren't really wasting time on pot smoking arrest, well, yes, they are. There's a lot of time wasted on that. The other problem with overall drug prohibition is that it's funding the very people that want to hurt you, me, and anything else that has to do with America. And how that happens is, and this is a bit off the topic of marijuana, but a kilo of heroin goes for $400 in a producing country. In the city of Detroit, that same kilo gets $200,000 cash on the market. Now, heroin's produced primarily, a lot of it's coming out of the Middle East, and thus we have a lot of problems with the Middle East. A lot of it's coming out of, I think it's the Golden Triangle in Burma and Thailand and that area as well. But what I'm saying here is that the prohibition of these drugs has escalated the price of them and created such obscene profits that it's funding the very people we want nothing to do with. So there's a number of reasons to end drug prohibition. It's not just to facilitate the medical patients, but it's also for our national security. And it's very important. I mean, prior to 1914, we didn't have to worry about our heroin addicts spending all their money on heroin and facilitating terror organizations. They went to doctors. They went to medical facilities. And they were taken care of in a health environment. Now they're taken care of by drug dealers on the streets, and the money goes back to the people that want to hurt us. So we need to change these. We will change these policies. We don't have a choice now. Between budgetary concerns, terrorism concerns, abuses of our citizens, we have to change this, and we will, by God. This is going to change. So, in closing, I just want to tell you the one last thing here. And remember this. Please remember that even when you have hard times with the cops, that the cops are truly here to protect and serve. They're not here to invade, steal, and kill. And that's exactly what the drug war has done to us. So, you know, don't take it out so much on them. It's just bad policy. It's similar to segregation. We were forced to enforce segregation laws. We were forced to prevent women from voting. We were forced to return slaves to their masters. But all those policies got shifted away once the public discovered that these were atrocities we were committing. So that's where we're at with this drug war. And just keep the faith up. I know it's tough to stay strong in this and stay involved and put your name out there and put your ass on the line, but I'm telling you, it's necessary. It's necessary. It's your duty as a citizen, just like it's my duty as a police officer and as a Marine to come out here and do my best to protect the citizens that cannot protect themselves. So, and closing, just do your duty. We do our duty, and we win, because we have truth in the facts. No more hype, no more myth, no more bullshit. We win. We have no more time.
Dan Solano from the Police Officers for Drug Law Reform. Let's get it up for him again. Fantastic.
See there? Don't hold everything against all your local police. They're good guys. They're just doing their job. So don't hold it against them. It's the people that are upstairs that
That's
are
right.
making all the laws saying, hey, we need more money for this. Well, hey, let's get that pot smoker.
All right, you know, we're just about out of here. The Black and Tan Carpet Band is going to bring us down. We have a few necessary announcements before we get out of here. Obviously, we'd like to thank all the speakers that were here today. Phenomenal group of people that educated us and informed us in all kinds of ways. We definitely like to thank all the speakers that took and helped out last night at the Hemp Rock fundraiser, as well as the bands that performed last night, which were Johnny Williams from Grassy Creek, as well as Neverville and Worldwide. We'd also like to thank Cures Not Wars, The Unique Boutique, Cannabis Culture Magazine, obviously all the guys at WLW, Bill Cunningham, Mike McConnell, Gary Burbank, Brian Perry, and Penis John of WEBN. They were all cooperative this week in helping us get the word out.
That's right, Mayor Lucan, wherever you are, if you want Willie to stop calling you and bugging you about this, then you do something about those laws for the medical marijuana.
That is for sure.
I'd like to give a little thank you myself and on behalf of the whole United States to First Lieutenant Jessica Badass Apgar, who is over in the desert, who would be with us right now, but she's in the desert protecting the freedom that is known as the U.S.
All right. We'd like to also thank all the volunteers that have been out here for the last 2 days helping out with the booths, the tables. Don't forget to stop and visit these people before you get out of here. Don't forget also to stop over at the Hemp Rock table so you can sign up for an invitation to the Cannabis Cup, which will be in October the 4th.
Anything you want to know on the movement, you can go to www.hemprock.com, and you'll have all the links and information that you can handle.
And you can call the Hemp Rock Audio Magazine at 513-684-HEMP. My name is Doc Diablo. You can catch me Tuesdays at 2 a.m., Tuesday overnights on WAIF.
I'm Senior Bowl, and I'm on Saturday nights at midnight on WAIF Live City Licks, where we go around the town and broadcast live bands.
Great bands, like the one we're going to close out the 2003 Million Marijuana March with.
And you know what, Doc?
Yes.
One more thank you. Thank you for
That's
coming
right.
out here, sitting
Give
out here,
that.
Having a good time, and showing that there's more than just one little pothead sitting in his house going, I want the right. We all want the right. So let's get it going, folks. Keep it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, one more time, the Black and Tan.